when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own lusts. God knows our motivation behind our prayers, and we might be asking for the wrong reasons, and He's not committed to giving us what we want.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, where we passionately are committed to offering encouragement and new ideas to those on the front lines of Christian ministry. At Romans 12 Ministries, we come alongside those leaders and families, fighting for their emotional, physical, and spiritual health, for we firmly believe that healthy leaders lead healthy ministries, and where there are healthy churches and ministries, there will be transformation in communities. Welcome again to the Relate, Refresh, and Restore podcast.
It's just a question, six words. Asked by my wife of 37 years when emotions come into play in our relationship or actually any relationship, I've come to embrace and value and sometimes hate this question. I must admit though, it has transformed how I look at and navigate my emotions in relationships. Are you ready for those six words? They are, is that a goal or desire? Our guest today is John O'Hare. He's been a speaker at our marriage retreats, and his insights into communication and relationships have greatly impacted couples. John is a former missionary and educator. He was the headmaster at Desert Christian Schools in Tucson, Arizona, and is the author of the book Redeeming Relationships, Healing the Brokenhearted. John is married to Susie, and they have two grown sons. I am David Town, your host for the Relate, Refresh, Restore podcast.
We don't like wanting something we don't have control over. So what we do is we decide, I'm going to take control. Now the battle is engaged. I'm not getting what I want. And what is said in James is, what causes the fights and quarrels? Well, you want something and you're not getting it. You get angry because they're not giving you what you want. The problem is you're trying to make them give you what you want. You've taken a desire and made it your goal. And that's where the trouble begins. So this principle I have found so fits in so many areas of life. You and I like to go to football games. Mm-hmm. And I love it because officiating, I think, is one of the hardest jobs in the world, to be an official. And an official will make a call that everybody watching goes, I think he blew that call. And what do people then, how do they respond to a bad call?
Well, if you're at a college football game, it's a lot of times it's a unison profanity.
Profanity and booing and anger. And you go, no, wait a minute. Why are they angry? What do they want? Oh, so let's take it. I want officials to make every call correct. Do you control that or not?
You do not.
You do not. It's a wonderful desire. So the thing I ask is, of the 55,000 people in the stadium, how many of them have prayed that the officials might make right calls? And I can tell you what that number is. Zero. Because they've all made it. They've taken a desire and they've made it the goal. And the goal, I'm going to make you make the right call. We're going to call you names and yell at you and get all upset and whatever. And how do you think the officials respond to people getting angry at them and yelling at them? Do you think that, oh, yeah, you're right, I need to change my... Of course not. They dig in and go, by golly, I'm going to call this the way I want to call it. And it just sort of spirals out of greater and greater anger. And the problem is the 55,000 have taken a desire and made it a goal. Why? Because they're not going to ask God to work in the life of the official to make good calls. My question that flows from that is, well, why don't we pray to God? Because we don't like the fact that God might not answer my desire. God might say no. I'm not going to give you what you want. In fact, that's what James says here in verse 3. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own lusts. God knows our motivation behind our prayers, and we might be asking for the wrong reasons, and he's not committed to giving us what we want.
But is it wrong for a wife to want a desire to be valued and honored?
Oh, not at all. That is a legitimate desire. The fact that I want my wife to love me, which is a desire, that's a legitimate thing to desire. Again, I don't control it. But my question becomes, how often do you find me in prayer that God might work, that she would respond to me in ways that shows her love for me? Another example, because I've done high school, and you know about proms. And so in the spring, the young men get all excited about, we're going to go ask the girl to the prom. And you ask the young men, when you go there to ask her whatever, what are you feeling? And they'll all go, my heart's thumping, my palms are sweating, they're nervous, they're anxious. Huh. Why anxiousness? So let me ask. I want Susie to go to the prom with me. Goal or desire?
That is a desire.
That's correct. That's a desire.
That's another gold star.
That's another gold star. You're up to two of them. You're going to be top of the class soon.
Could be my favorite podcast.
So here's the thing. It's a proper desire. I used to ask the guys at Desert this. So you want her to go to the formal with you to the prom. Have you prayed about that? And in all those years, not one boy ever said yes. Why are they not praying about it? Because what they've done is taken that desire, shifted it over, and made it their goal. Now, a proper goal is this. I want to ask Susie to go to the formal with me. Who controls whether I ask her?
I do. Yeah,
that's a legitimate goal. I'm going to go up to her and ask her. I want her to say yes to my ask. That's a desire. That's something I pray about. The goal is I get up off my seat and I go over and I ask. But young men are afraid that if I ask her, she might say, no, I'd rather go out with someone higher up on the food chain. And they go, ouch, that'd hurt. So what do the young men do? Well, I'm going to start to do things that'll put pressure on her to say yes. So I'm going to bring her gifts and put a thing on the locker. I'm going to do all of this stuff to show her how important this is to me, that she would say yes. And then I'm going to ask her. Well, if she says no, what's going to happen is the young man's going to be angry. That girl, I did all of that, and she said no. But until I ask her, I'm not sure that my plan is going to work, leads to anxiety and fear. By the way, this is why Paul in Philippians says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. If I'm fearful, the majority of the reason is because I'm after something that I don't control and I'm not sure I can get it. So I'm fearful. It's uncertain whether I can accomplish it, so I become fearful. If I've shifted a desire to a goal and I go out and do it and they don't cooperate, that'll lead me to be angry. But then a third thing can happen. I can try and try and try. So high school girls often have a crush on a young man, and they so want the young man to like them. So I want Bobby to like me. Goal or desire?
That is a desire.
That's a desire. And the girl's going, yeah, but am I going to pray about that? No. What am I going to do? I'm going to do things that'll get Bobby to notice me, and I hope he'll like me. So she'll come along, and as girls can only do, they bat their eyes in that way that all of us men know, oh, watch out, she's showing interest in me by the way her eyes are. Or she'll stand by him and laugh at his bad jokes. She'll, sort of flirt with him and push herself towards him. And if he's not interested and he's not, you know, going to go for that. She goes through the unrequited love phase that, oh, you know, I'm not loved and I don't like it, like from the song in Les Miserables, you know. She so wanted him to like her, she so wanted him to like her, but he was in love with someone else, and she dealt with the pain of not doing that. But if you reach the conclusion, you will never receive what you want as a desire. And you go, I'm never going to get that. I've tried everything I can. It'll lead to one of two things. Shame. Something's wrong with me because I can't do what's required to get them to like me. Or the idea of guilt, you know, that I'm bad or something's wrong with me. It's primarily shame. You give up. You lose heart. And you go, you can become depressed and whatever, because I'm not going to get what I want. And so I take those three emotions, the anger, the anxiety, or the shame. I call them idiot lights. These are emotions that God has placed there that warn me that I'm shifting a desire and making it my goal. I'm not willing to trust God for that. I'm going to take over. And that's why I experience that. So one last example of this. We evangelicals do this a lot. I want so-and-so to become a follower of Christ. Goal or desire?
That is a desire.
That is a desire. What's a proper goal in that scenario?
I would say maybe I want to model Christ's qualities.
Third gold star, my friend. You're on a roll here.
All right. I hope everybody's taking note of this.
Yes. What is it that I can control? That I model or proclaim the truth. So my thing is, what is successful evangelism? I modeled Christ to them. I proclaimed what is true to them. My desire is that they would come to faith. Well, in Romans, what does Paul say? My heart's desire in prayer to God for them is that they might be saved. He articulated it exactly that way. I have a desire, and I am praying to God for their salvation. But Paul understood he had a legitimate set of goals to accomplish, to proclaim the gospel, to incarnate the gospel of Christ to people. That is what I can control. What we've done is because, well, what if I proclaim and they choose not to believe or to follow? Well, that's painful. That hurts, particularly it's when your own kids that you so want them to know the Lord, and it's very painful when they're in defiance of God. That is completely legitimate and right that you feel that way. But what that, I like how Lewis says it, pain convinces us we're not in control. And we hate not being in control. And so that's the worst thing that we can do then is, okay, I'm not going to live with the pain of not being in control. I'm going to take over and make sure that I don't feel any pain. And really what that is I'm not going to trust God. And that's where the problem begins. The battle begins when I say, I'm not going to trust God. I'm going to take over.
We hope you're enjoying the story of hope with John O'Hare as we look at strengthening relationships. If you haven't done so yet, please hit the subscribe button so we can continue to help and serve more ministry leaders and their families. Your partnership means so much to us, and you can donate at Romans 12 Ministries, and it is romans12ministries.org/donate. That's romans12ministries.org/donate. Yeah, let me give you one example, and then we'll close up. But so I was meeting with the pastor this past week, and they were sharing that their intimacy with their wife is lacking. And he said that I've been trying everything. I have cleaned the kitchen, I have vacuumed, I have picked up the clothes, all those things that he has heard her say that really kind of bugs her about him.
Mm-hmm.
But he, as I shared with him, he's expecting something by in doing return. These things.
Yep.
So what would you say to somebody like that?
Well, I would start by asking the question, what do you want? And I think that's a good place to start. When somebody says they're angry, or somebody says they're anxious, or somebody says, I feel shame, well, what do you want? And if they articulate it, you know, I want intimacy with my wife. Okay, goal or desire?
That's a desire.
That's a desire. Is there anything wrong in that desire?
I hope not.
No, nothing wrong in that desire. Completely legitimate desire. So what do you do with the desire? You pray. And people find that, oh, that's not satisfying. You know, that's something that I don't, you know, if that's the case, you know, then I'm, you know, I'm at the whim of God as to what he will do. So the greatest danger is to say, I'm going to take control over something that God has not left under my control. But can you control things? Sure. I would like to verbalize to my spouse my desire. So I can verbalize my desire. I really desire this. Uh-huh. But I understand that I don't control it. So I'm going to communicate my desire, but I'm not going to make a demand on you. And if she says no, then you're going to deal with the disappointment of not getting what you desire. And there's a disappointment and a pain to that, that we hate, that we don't want to go, oh, okay, God, you know, this is where you've got me right now. I'm not getting what I want. And so I'm going to learn to submit and trust you in the midst of that. But there are a lot of things he can control. I can control that I love my wife, not to get something from her, because that's not love. If I'm doing things to manipulate people, that isn't loving. Loving is after their best interest, you know, not taking into account what I want, but I'm out for their best interest. So to love somebody, you do what's best for them, not what's best for you. And that's what's so hard. Mm-hmm. You know, you and I were talking earlier about praying for our enemies, you know, and praying for good for them. When, you know, the whole sense of your emotion is you don't want good for them. You want them to be punished and to suffer the consequences. And I understand where that feeling comes from. But God's called on us, commanded us to pray for those who spitefully use us. Boy, we don't like that. We find it hard to trust God in that way. So my place to start would be, what do you want? And boy, don't shift that desire and make it a goal. That won't help things at all. That'll just make things worse.
We learn early on to think that we're in control.
Oh, yeah.
I want this. I want it now. I'm going to scream till I get it.
Yep.
And it seems to me that we talked about this earlier, that there's a pride in that. And then there's the other side is the brokenness.
Yep. Yep.
And we don't want to go to the brokenness. So we're going to try to control through our pride, manipulation, expectations till we get what we want. But then there's all this damage that happens. Yeah.
Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts himself is a fool. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Guess what, a child? We all started out this way. We all started out going, I want my way. That's why one of the first words we learn is no. Mom and dad say, do this, and we go, no. You're looking at the folly of your own child. The second word we all learn is mine. This is mine. I'm taking this. So anybody who's helped at church in the nursery with those little tots and the toys in the nursery, you might have 8,000 toys in the nursery, but this little one over here is going to go over and take away the toy from the other one. Why? Mine. What they're showing is that who they trust is themselves. So this is the interesting thing about goals and desires. I want something that I don't control. Why do I shift it over? Because I trust me. I know what I want, and I'm going to get it on my terms, my way. I will not trust God. And that's the juxtaposition of everything related to our lives. Would you trust God or will you trust yourself, particularly with your desires? With my goals, I just need to do it. But with my desires, who am I going to trust? Am I going to trust God or am I going to trust me? And shifting the desire to a goal is a sign that you're trusting yourself. You're being a fool. You're making the demand, it's going to be my way, or I'm going to make life difficult for everybody in my world. Mm.
Well, I must admit to everybody, I have been a fool many times.
And as have I.
The seven words that I've come to hate because of your teaching is when my wife says to me, is that a goal or a desire?
Yeah, it's a dangerous tool.
John O'Hare, this is such rich teaching. And I tell you what, it's really transformative for marriage couples because they have come and talked to me. Yeah. So thank you so much for your willingness to share that with us. And you are loved.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that very much.
God bless you.
Yeah, Lord bless you.
Thank you for joining us today at another episode of Relate, Refresh, and Restore, a podcast sponsored by Romans 12 Ministries. For more information on Romans 12 Ministries, visit us at romans12ministries.org or give us a call at 520-982-5877. May we all continue to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer.